This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you've ever done the wave in a stadium, you know how it ripples through from one section to another, and then eventually it just dies out like that. It's gone in an instant. You know what the good news is? It reminds me of how Omicron is being described, more like a wave that is cresting and falling out. So optimism running a little bit high, even though you might be looking at shortages right now, and your patience has probably been frayed when you're out trying to find somebody to wait on you, depending on where you are, from the grocery store to a doctor's office to various other places that we go in our life. But the good news is the sun will come up tomorrow, and apparently it might be a little bit sooner if we get really lucky. Hey, hey, Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us. Again, whatever nook or cranny that you hail from, I think that is exceedingly great news. Does it mean that is exactly what's going to happen? No. Does it mean that I'm telling you, oh, like next week this is all over, people? No. It just means that it is good news when you think of the way this has ripped through the United States, that is disrupting essential services, that in California they've gone so nuts in a state that's known for that, that they're telling people that you go to work, meaning hospital workers, you go to work if you're a nurse because we need you, because we have so many people coming in the doors. If you're asymptomatic and you test positive, just come in. Which is crazy to me and irresponsible, but they feel like they're stuck and they're flipping a coin and don't know what to do. Imagine that in California. And I know there's people listening to us there, and it's very frustrating when you go to the hospital, of course, and there's nobody has picked up the phones, there's nobody there, and you need to be there. You have to be there for perhaps testing positive for COVID. Who knows, something else that's going on. Because remember, there are still many other medical things that are happening to people. It doesn't mean that, hey, the pandemic, let's call the whole thing off, everything else that's happening. There are still people that are dealing with heart problems, dealing with cancer, dealing with all kinds of things that they have to get taken care of. And it's become really untenable in Southern California in some of those hospitals. But still, I think one of the craziest things that I've heard is come to work. It's okay. Perhaps there was pressure on the CDC to reduce that quarantine time to 5 days when we were all told, oh, it has to be 10 days. But like I said, the good news is if you look at the cases, especially in New York and in that Northeast quadrant, they're seeing them really, really plummet from what was a high a week or 2 weeks ago. And that means that it is a wave. It means that the wave is a much better alternative to really what we've dealt with through the Delta variant and the very start of the pandemic, what that ultimately was like. And still, when we look at the COVID cases and we look at the people that are dying from COVID, again, the numbers of the dying are relatively low compared to the beginning of this, but it still goes to vaccinated versus unvaccinated, masking versus unmasked. And when you look at the numbers of deaths, and these are just pure numbers, it's not even political, this is just what it is, most of those deaths, of course, are the people who are unvaccinated. So you have people like Julianne Margulies, the actress, and other people have some sort of notoriety saying, get vaccinated because I have COVID and it's like the flu, and if I wasn't vaccinated and boosted, I could be in a hospital bed somewhere. So there's a lot of that pushing still for vaccinations, because the fully vaccinated is just in the country 62.7%, although the doses of people getting vaccinated have shot up dramatically compared to what they were. Another reason for some optimism is if you were thinking of going on a cruise just to get away from everything, cruises are using quarantine ships to isolate coronavirus-positive crew members, and the CDC has backed off telling cruise lines what to do, basically saying, it's up to you, the protocols that you're following. So when I say that's good news, if a boat is loaded with people who test positive with coronavirus, you're not going to be able to go into many of these ports, and that's not a good thing. But if they're separating, especially the crew, that's a good thing. And there's ways to check on where the boats are going, etc. So you think a couple months from now, by the time you book it or whatever, you have a much better chance of having a smoother sail. And who, for goodness sake, does not want that? Speaking of not having a smooth sail, the Democrats on the January 6th committee want Kevin McCarthy, who has the top spot in the Senate, to testify about details with his communications with the former president, Donald Trump, on January 6th. And he has said he will not do that. And the reason he said he will not do that is because when the committee was being formed, they would not take any of his suggestions on his picks to serve on the panel. And he says it's not serving any legislative purpose. It is not a legitimate investigation. Now, ultimately, he could be subpoenaed. And, of course, we know that there was text and conversation going on between the president and Kevin McCarthy as everything was unfolding on the Hill on that day when everything was underway. So there is information there. But the panel said, we want to question him about that communication with the president, the White House staff, and others in the whole week after the January 6th attack as well. Liz Cheney, who couldn't be more alienated from the Republican Party, gets even more distance between her and the party when she said, I wish he were a brave and honorable man. He's clearly trying to cover up what happened. He has an obligation to come forward and will get the truth. And, of course, Congresswoman Liz Cheney is the vice chairwoman of the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection and is not ruling out the possibility of having to subpoena Kevin McCarthy for information the panel is seeking, suggesting that the House's top Republican is, again, like she said, trying to cover up what happened that day. They're going to evaluate their options and see if they press him. Can you imagine if he gets subpoenaed? Wow. What a shocker. What a surprise that would be, I think, to have the minority leader of the United States get strong arm in the middle of all of this. Of course, he's Congressman, House of Representatives. Wow, just crazy. Hang with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Imagine you have a granddaughter and she's got all these aches and pains that seem almost unexplainable, and she describes it as sore bones. And we know how much we love our children and our grandchildren and how difficult it is when they're ill, and especially when we don't know what it is that's made them sick. Now you're this special person and you've decided, I need to write a children's book about this so people understand. And the book is called Princess Bendy. Rose McGregor is with us. She's joining us from Scotland to talk about it. Hey, Rose, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
So let's talk about Caitlin, your granddaughter, who sounds just so precious. And you told me the story about her. I want the listeners to hear this because I bet a lot of them don't have dealt with things that they don't know, that's a mystery, and they feel helpless. What happened to Caitlin?
Well, Caitlin went through, right up to the age of four, suffered extreme tiredness, fatigue, sore joints, bruising, swelling of the eyes, and no one really knew where this was coming from until her diagnosis. And we didn't know either.
Yeah, so her diagnosis, explain that, because I guess at one point, which is what doctors do, they try to eliminate things because of the tiredness. They thought even at one point, one of the doctors, that it might be leukemia.
Yes, because it had similar traits. The bruising was a similar trait for the blood disorder of leukemia. The bruising in the skin, the joints, and that's what Caitlin was showing. There's the bruising, and then her eyes as well. Any joint, any place, you couldn't touch her, but she would bruise. If she overstretched her joints, they would bruise. Wow. And the doctor would ask my daughter to write down all the times these bruises would appear and for how long. And then he decided to send her to the Children's Hospital here in Glasgow to confirm. There was two things going through his head, but one of them out the way, which was hypermobility. And that's actually what was diagnosed with Caitlin, joint hypermobility. There's a few syndromes of hypermobility, and Caitlin's was joint hypermobility.
So tell us about joint hypermobility. I mean, I think it's a pretty small group of people around the world that have it, but it's very significant.
Yes, well, everyone's actually got a little trait of it. There's a Batten score that determines how much of the syndrome you do have, and Caitlin scored 9 out of 9 in the Batten score, which means she was right at the top of the scale. If you score about 1 or 2, you're not in so much pain. And people who do a career writer actually being double jointed, because that's the common term for it. They've even done game shows and that, talent shows, and show their tricks, dislocating their joints and putting them back into place. This is where it comes from, is the hypermobility syndrome, especially the joint one. But Caitlin is very high in the score, as I say, so she suffers more, wouldn't be able to do those tricks without really being in severe pain.
Right. So in the book, you talk about this, and why did you write the book? Did you want your granddaughter to understand what was happening and other people around her, especially kids, to understand it?
Well, my granddaughter sort of understood it through her mum and myself talking and the doctor explaining it, but the book did help her. But she was at nursery age by the time she got diagnosed, and they weren't understanding it too clearly in nursery. So the staff were very helpful, and they said that if there was anything they could do, like they asked me in to talk about it, and I thought, I need a visual aid. I need something that entices the children to want to know more and be visually involved to help Caitlin. And that's why I wrote the book, to explain the condition, to raise awareness, and also I could continue to the adult lens, because I discovered that through myself, where my granddaughter has took it from, but we didn't know at the time, I was diagnosed at the same time as doing the book with osteoarthritis. And the doctor to me said, have you heard of the word hypermobility, the syndrome? And I go, well, funny enough, my granddaughter has it, and we don't know where it came from. And he says, it's you.
Wow.
So I've learned that osteoarthritis is a later stage of it, and then I was so determined to get this book from the early stage of my granddaughter's age group, get the story out there, get more children diagnosed properly through my story, which has helped the parents understand the condition. And a few have been diagnosed through my book, and the parents have come up to me and said, thank you, because I could go to my GP and ask, could they refer my child to see if she has that or he has that? And through that too, they discovered where we're living, more boys are now prone to this condition. But the book helps in the nursery stage at the time, and I still do it, the talks. So it's from preschool age, I'm trying to develop the understanding of the condition, and what age you need, and not to make her feel or him feel any different. But at the time, it's for my granddaughter to help ease her in her education and let the peers know and understand why she needed all this sort of attention and aids. It wasn't because she wasn't just someone coming in and thinking she was better than anyone else. She needed these to get more comfortable and learn better, help her education.
Wow. I mean, how wonderful that you helped other parents and they could understand and get the diagnosis. And that's the power of Princess Bendy, which you, by the way, it's beautiful, beautiful book, beautifully illustrated. You can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, et cetera. And I hope a lot of kids get this and understand what it is. And then especially people who are struggling ultimately with it. So how's Caitlin doing now?
Well, she's now taking up dance at the college. She's going to make a career out of it, and ballet's included. And ballet is the best dance for anyone with this condition because it strengthens the joints and the muscles, because hypermobility, joint hypermobility, is a soft connective tissue disorder. That underneath your muscles, the tissues can tear and you don't see it, and that's where the bruising comes from. And that's what dancing helps with. It is tiring, but she just has to moderate the length of time she can do it. But if the more she does, the more she can build up stamina. So far, she's doing very good.
I love it. That's a proud grandma. Or what does she call you? Nana.
Nana.
I like it. Princess Bendy, again, it's just a beautifully written book. And Rose McGregor, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Kate.
The story of taking what happened to her granddaughter and then putting it out there in a bigger way, because you know, certainly we know with what happens with the health and the concerns, it's really tough when you have kids and trying to explain that and pushing that out there that way, I think is a very, very good thing. So bravo to Rose for that. You know, we used to do segments called For Your Health once a week, and we're going to bring them back, but we're so overwhelmed with the whole thing with what's happening with COVID and what's the real information, what's the misinformation, and what are people doing, and what's happening with the hospitalizations. And, you know, here's the thing. People are living with all kinds of other issues, right? I mean, blood donations are critical. The Red Cross is saying they face the worst shortage they've ever faced in a decade. And, you know, that's like one of those things when you're at work sometimes, hey, the Red Cross has come to blood donations and you can take the rest of the day off or whatever. It was lots of places, television, radio places where I worked, that happened. But now so many people aren't at their offices that now these trucks are being set up in other places. The Red Cross supplies 40% of the country's blood supplies, and they've had a 10% decrease since March of 2020 donations. So you got to think about that. You're in some kind of car wreck, something happens, cancer patients, and you need that time of your life. You need blood. And people that normally are donating it, because how many times have I heard that it's good? You know, there's plenty, but there's not now. And red blood cells, I didn't know this, but it was explained to me, red blood cells have a shelf life of 42 days, where platelets have a shelf life of 5 days. So I guess the demand for blood probably never goes away with that kind of a shelf life. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next on The Flip Side.
Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're gonna win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
The U.S. House plans to take up and advance a consolidated election and voting rights bill on Thursday to allow the Senate to give it urgent consideration. This, according to Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Wednesday evening, Democrats do not have the 60 votes currently needed to advance the legislation and bypass the Senate filibuster. Six out of 10 Americans believe the country's democracy is in danger of collapse. According to a poll released Wednesday by Quinnipiac University, a majority said they think political instability in the U.S. is a bigger danger than foreign threats. 53% said they expect political divisions in the country to worsen over their lifetime. The data comes during a Biden administration that promised political compromise and healing. And the late Senator Harry Reid is being remembered at the U.S. Capitol. This is USA Radio News. The Chicago Teachers Union has narrowly backed an agreement dictating COVID-19 safety protocols in the nation's third largest school district. Wednesday's vote will keep kids in classrooms after 5 days of canceled classes due to a standoff with the city over remote learning and virus testing. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
Switching completely back to remote learning again without a public health reason to do so would have created and amplified the social, emotional, and economic turmoil that far too many of our families are facing.
The White House is grappling with another gloomy inflation report that threatens both President Joe Biden's sweeping social spending bill and Democrats' prospects in the midterm elections. Consumer prices increased 7% in December from the same month the previous year, according to the Labor Department. It represents the fastest increase in prices in nearly 40 years. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Welcome to this show, Robert Janicki. He's written a book called Looking Back, A Marine's Personal Experiences as an Infantry Squad Leader with the 3rd Marines in Vietnam. Bob, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you, Kate, for having me.
You and I talked off the air, and you said that this took you 30 years to write, and you had so much encouragement from your family. And I can only imagine, because you were reliving those experiences, is that was what was so tough to take you back to those jungles?
Yes, we were at the phone company, and we were allowed to create a veterans group that could speak live. And in preparation for that, we had to make notes, and we had to, you know, create storylines around our notes. So we picked some of the more powerful moments of our experiences in Vietnam. And there was five of us: officers, enlisted men, machine gunners, people like myself. So we learned, I learned there how to, you know, put some of my thoughts down. And then long after those speaking engagements, I still had my notes, and I started taking each one of my bullet items and expanding the story around that. And eventually it was a very long Word document, but then eventually it became a book over a long time.
Yeah. I mean, you were just a kid when you served, and so many were even younger than you, as you told me, even, you know, 18, 19 years old. And you served from September 1967 through October 1968. And immediately when I saw those dates, even before I read it, I realized, oh, that's the Tet Offensive in 68. What was that like?
It was horrific. We were up in the DMZ area, and when, you know, the night that Tet started, it was a battle all night. And then starting the next day, our job as my Marine unit wasn't to sit in a base camp. Our job was to go out after the bad guys. So we were sent out as a company patrolling the Northern I Corps area over towards Hue City, where the big, a very large battle was taking place. And it turns out that our job at that point was to try to stop NVA soldiers coming from the north with supplies heading towards Hue. So we were a blocking force. But that battalion, that NVA regiment that was in Hue got decimated and broken up into smaller groups, which they broke off, and we fought them for the rest of my time there. They were scattered all over northern Vietnam, and we chased them down, and we had fights.
And in the middle of these fights, I mean, it was, you know, you were such a tight group of guys. How difficult was it when one by one, so many of the guys that you grew close to, you lost, and then you had to keep on fighting? I think sometimes that's lost on people what that is like in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of this jungle.
It's one of the things that haunts us the most. We had no time to grieve. We couldn't allow our emotions to drag us down. We had to think about the next second, the next minute, the next hour. So that's one of the biggest issues for Vietnam veterans, is we have tremendous survivor guilt that we didn't have a chance to mourn all these people that we loved and we trained with, and they were disappearing one day after another.
Yeah. So that's certainly one thing I think that a lot of people don't know about Vietnam vets. What do you think are some of the other things that people don't realize and things that you've written about?
Well, some of the biggest things is I just mentioned survival guilt. We all have, let's just backtrack a little bit. You know, there was no safe place in Vietnam. It wasn't like the wars of the past, where you had the enemy in front of you and friendly people behind you. Units like ours, we were out there every single night, and we were in a 360-degree perimeter protecting ourselves. So these emotions, they don't just go away. So we have survival guilt from the casualties that we took. From that, most of us suffer with severe depression, anxiety, enhanced startle factors. These are all key elements from what our experiences were. And I didn't realize any of this until I joined a veterans outreach group in 1979. It was all combat veterans. And I thought all these emotions were myself to deal with. And I immediately learned that all these other veterans were sharing the exact same thoughts and feelings I had. And it was a huge relief in one way that I wasn't alone in this. I mean, it was still very hard to deal with, but these are all common effects that trauma has on a veteran, regardless of Vietnam or Iraq, Afghanistan. We all suffer these emotions that were delivered to us.
Yeah, that shows you the power of that group, and all the way to 1979 for you to find that group. And
yes, 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. And when people read your story, what do you hope they take away from reading this story?
Well, the story is, it's through my eyes in my infantry unit. But from reading it, they will learn the feelings that we went through, the chemistry of the war, the jungles, the rice paddies. We didn't serve in the southern part of Vietnam, which is called the Delta. We were just up in the rice paddies in the jungles. But it's the feelings, the emotions that we carried with us every day, everything from joyful laughter and, real difficult situations to, the sorrow of loss. To understand the pride that every single one of us has for serving our country, the pride that we have for serving in an extremely difficult war, and the horrible pain that we were delivered when we came home, and we're completely shunned and abused by, you know, our fellow Americans.
Yeah, talk about that. That's the other part of the story, of course, when you look back.
Yeah.
Was that surprising to you after going through all the things that you went through?
Well, you know, you experience it when you're going through training and stuff. You see them out in the street corners, you know, away from the bases. But now to go to a war, go through some horrific times, and then come back, and they were blatantly brutal. Eggs being punched out, things even worse than that. It taught, you know, what it told us to do. It told us to shut up. And that's one of the worst things that could ever happen to a soldier, is not to allow them to talk about their experiences and share their pride and their honor for serving their country. So everybody that's listened to this that has a veteran in their family know that they, inside that shell of theirs, they are extremely proud. They're bursting with pride. But we've never been able to openly share those feelings.
And you and I also talked about this, and by the way, you can get Robert Janicki's book, of course, Looking Back, on Amazon, but going to the Vietnam Wall and what that's like, and thank goodness we do have at least the Vietnam Wall, and you see people looking at it, and people, even younger people who don't understand, Bob, what the war was, I think there's something to, hey, this is a marker at least to let you know, as you said, the pride, look at the people, look at the loss. What's that like for you when you go there?
It's extremely solemn. It's, you do a lot of soul searching. You're among your friends and you can allow yourself to be that. The wall is, the names of the casualties are chronological and, you know, by date. So you can track down a name and then you can just see, keep searching forward or backwards from that name and find other names of the men that you served with. It's extremely emotional. Sometimes I go there by myself. Sometimes I go there with my family. It's just a place where you can just show your love for these men that you served with. And it's extremely emotional. It's not an easy visit. And it opens up a lot of emotions without even any words shared. Cause it brings back a lot of memories. They're really, you know, an awful lot of memories.
Yeah, tough, tough, tough memories. Well, thank goodness you started this group and that has flourished, the AT&T group, and that in 1979, as you said, you were able to get in that one group that was so powerful to release what was happening. And the more that happens, I think, the better for so many veterans listening, don't you think?
I agree. You know, when we started the group, my goal was, not the group, but I started a newsletter at the phone company. And I, you know, based on my experiences from my counseling group, what I want to do is start bringing Vietnam veterans together. So I had them supply anybody who was listed, you know, interested in my newsletters. They sent in their name, the city that they worked in, the building that they worked in, and the location in that building. And every time I published a newsletter, the listings of all the veterans in the company were listed by building. So they had an opportunity to search each other out, and it took off like a rocket ship. And we held Veterans Day ceremonies, Memorial Day ceremonies. We got company approval to fly the POW flag and all of our flag poles. So it gave us a lot of, it gave us the ability to show our pride for our country and our dedication to our country.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for your service and for this amazing book, Looking Back, Robert Janicki. We appreciate you coming on.
Okay, thank you very much, Kate.
Looking back, pre-keeping track of the progress of the keeping of the ego intact. Before I realized I was a man, I suppose I am.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818 818- 865-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Joins us now. He's written a book called Balanced Leadership, A Pragmatic Guide for Leading. Oh, boy, do we need this book now more than ever. Len, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate, for having me. It's a pleasure.
So let's talk about why you wrote this book. With all your experience, I can see why you would write this book. But what drove you to putting this out now?
What motivated me most of all was seeing how much misunderstanding there was about what it means to be a leader and to lead. I've even heard people say, oh, you know, we don't need leaders anymore. That's obsolete. People want to be self-led today. And you look around, it's not hard to find leaders who are often toxic or fail. And you say, boy, something wrong with this model. And there is. And it's not that we don't need leaders or that they're obsolete. They certainly are not. However, it's important for people to realize that they can become a better leader and need to do so. It's very important that our leaders are effective and capable and you know, do the job of leading and understand what it means to be a leader. And that's where the problems are.
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, get the book because then you can go through all of these steps. But give us a couple of things that you talk about as far as becoming a better leader. What do you need to do?
Okay, great. Well, what leaders do that is unique is they bring different people together, different parties together, and they provide direction and focus. They help people define a vision, where we want to get to in the next month, year, 10 years, whatever. That's very important that people understand where we're going as a group, as a company, as an organization. We need to have a vision and then use that vision to set our goals. The leader also supports their people to success, and they don't permit failure. That changes the environment completely in a company or an organization. When people understand that they can go out and do things or try things that may be a little bit uncomfortable, maybe beyond their skill level at the current time, but they know, they have confidence that the leader is going to be there to help them and not allow them to fail. And that's how you build a team. You build a team of people who constructively work together to support each other, make up for each other's deficiencies, because none of us are perfect, okay? We all have flaws. And by the way, some of those flaws are not so easy to fix. They're not going to go away overnight. But if you have a team and we recognize strengths and weaknesses and we combine people in ways to make sure that the weaknesses don't allow people or the team to fail, it works like a charm.
Wow. You know, I'm thinking and processing what you're talking about. And another thing that you mentioned, I think, is so key, and you say it right in the beginning of the book, flexibility versus consistency. And what I think is fascinating, I've never heard anyone say this, you say you cannot purely be one or the other, and it's difficult to be both. What do you mean by that?
Well, flexibility and consistency, all right? We want to be consistent to some extent, meaning we don't want to be flip-flopping around. We want people to depend on us and understand what we're saying and realize that we're committed to it, and that's fine, but it can be overdone. And that's where the concept of balance comes in, all right? In every different situation, the degree of consistency that I portray as a leader will change. In some situations, it's going to be absolutely rigid, and I will not have any flexibility at all. And therefore, I'm extremely consistent, okay? And that's necessary sometimes. But on the other hand, people don't like it when, you know, I come to you as a boss, and I come to you with new information or something that changes, or the world is changing every day, let's face it. We need to be able to change in response to those events. That means we need to be somewhat flexible, and therefore somewhat inconsistent.
Yeah.
That sounds like a paradox, but it's riding a bicycle, balancing those two things, getting it just right in every situation with every group of people, and being willing to change that balance when called to do so.
Yeah, and again, the book is Balanced Leadership, A Pragmatic Guide for Leading. And Len, another thing that you talk about that I think is so critical, and this word is often sort of misused and people don't always understand it correctly, but you talk about authentic leadership. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, it's very important to be authentic to who you are. Some people think they can read a book or have a mentor and follow that person's style and approach in leading. And sometimes that can work really well for you, and in a lot of cases it won't work because that style may not be the appropriate one for the situation you're in. That's number one. And number two, it may not be appropriate to you and your character. You're a unique person. We're all different, and that's good. I don't want to act like somebody else. I want to act like me. And that's important in being a leader because people see right through you, meaning you can try and be on your best behavior and make believe you're better or different than you really are, and it's not going to work because they're going to see right through it, realize you're a phony, and then they won't believe you or listen to you, or they'll be wary of anything you say because they're like, well, if you told me a lie then, what other lies are you going to tell me or have? You lose your credibility. So you need to be authentic. And, you know, we are who we are, and be honest about it. Doesn't mean we walk around being idiots and jerks. You don't want to do that. But on the other hand, when you make a mistake, you want to fess up and say, yep, that's me. Sorry, I did that. I'll try not to do it again, or I won't do it again. You know, be willing to admit and apologize and then move on. But recognize the fact that you are who you are and you need to be who you are.
Yeah. And another part of that that you talk about, I think, is so interesting, and I agree with it, is you say don't take yourself too seriously. And it's so important to have humor and have humility and the value of humility, which I think both of those a lot of times are lost on the person at the top because they don't want to be seen as weak or having any chinks in the armor, so to speak. And if they would laugh and have humility, I think people would relate a little bit more. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. And my favorite motto is always to work hard, be successful, and have fun. In that order, meaning without hard work, there's no success. Without success, there's no fun. And without fun, there's no hard work. It's a virtuous cycle. And when people get to recognize that as the leader, I'm willing to have fun, I'm willing to laugh at myself, willing to make mistakes and openly discuss them, and make it fun. Make the work fun. Don't make it a drudgery. Make it fun, have fun, and let's celebrate when we are successful. But at the same time, people have to recognize that takes hard work. That's not a joke. We have to work, and we're going to work, and we're going to do the best we can, and sometimes better than the best we can. We're going to get the job done. We don't accept failure. Mistakes are fine. Everyone makes mistakes. We're going to make a lot of them. Elon Musk says we need to make mistakes faster. And he's right. That's exactly the kind of organization you want to build, is where people feel safe enough to make mistakes, to try and stretch and do something that they perhaps couldn't do yesterday or even today, but they're willing to try. And the organization is there to support them and help them, allow them to make mistakes, but not allow them to fail. To me, that's a big difference.
Oh, yeah. I love what you say, too, right in your acknowledgments. I always read the acknowledgments, because one of the things you say in your acknowledgments is you say there is no cookbook method for leadership, because I think people think there is. You say there is only balance. And then you give credit to not only supporters and friends, you say mentors while you were doing this book. And mentors are so important.
Oh, I have lots of mentors through my career, and they're very important to have some people you can talk to and bounce ideas off of, and people who will tell you the truth about yourself. And that's not so easy to do, especially when you're a leader. People tend not to tell you the truth. And one of the things I say in the book is, as a leader, if people come and tell you something that's a little bit negative, multiply it by 10, because they're not giving you the whole scoop. But leadership has been a very popular topic throughout history. In fact, it's the most popular topic for books in history. Last count, there were over 10,000 books written on leadership. So, yeah, there is no definitive one. No one's ever written a definitive book. I don't believe I have either. But they go back to, Chinese philosophers like Lao Tzu. He contributed to writing the Tao Te Ching in the 6th century B.C., and he talks a lot about leadership. Marcus Aurelius, Roman leader and later Caesar, wrote a book on leadership, which is amazing. It's an amazing book, by the way, if you ever get a chance to read it. Do.
Wow. I love that. 10,000 books on leadership. Well, yours definitely stands out. Balanced Leadership, A Pragmatic. I love that guide for leading. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Len, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. All the best.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.